webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Klein online.
Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's Hump Day, Wednesday, February 2nd, take two, three, two, one. February 2nd, 2011, the only second day of February, 2-11, in the history of the world. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, it's that time again. It's time to contemplate all things gospel. And we know that a lot of you beautiful humans are dealing with severe weather around North America. There is a cyclone targeting beautiful humans in Australia right now, the beautiful humans in Egypt and Yemen and Tunisia are also experiencing certain difficulties. But if you're online with us, whether it be live or on the archive, we have good news for you tonight, and glad that you are with us on the Gospel Revolution Wednesday night webcast. If you're listening on Wednesday night and it's just a minute after 9 o'clock, that means you're listening live, and we want your participation tonight. Get on the phone early and often at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260 for listeners that are listening live outside the United States or Canada. You can call directly at 813-425-5773. 813-425-5773. And now, without any further ado, please welcome the president, founder, and the new title, the unteacher of the Gospel Revolution, back home in nice and relatively warm Houston, Texas, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael!
Hey, Glenn. Good evening.
You know, I think what I was going to say was we never even contemplated greeting the specific people in places like Egypt or Tunisia or Yemen. But now that we have the information about all these countries, at the last count, 86 countries on the planet logging on to gospelrevolution.com and the webcast, we now know to greet them specifically as well. That's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing. It definitely is a beautiful thing, and speaking of relative, as far as warm, I don't think we're measuring up to the relatives here in Houston. This is cold. It's cold, but you know, we're not down in single digits or anything like that. And Canada certainly was there, no doubt about it. But I arrived in Canada with on a record high day, and I think I left on a record low day. So it was quite the trip, and probably fairly indicative of the teaching and the entire sessions and everything. It was dynamic for sure. Whether it was the weather, or the people attending, or the teaching that was taking place, it really was quite amazing.
Well, Jeff Robertson, Johnny on the Spot, reports that we are now up to 107 nations.
Jeez.
On the planet logging on. We've passed the century mark somewhere along the line, folks, and not least of which a reason would be the advertising we're able to do on the Internet and on Google now, that Jeff was able to procure some free advertising, which he's budgeted at, believe it or not, $3 a day.
Yeah,
which has significantly expanded our exposure. And, boy, if we could afford to do some advertising on Google, we could do some serious damage.
Just think what you could do with $5 a day. Jeez.
You know, it's they have these feed the children commercials and infomercials on television. You know, for $3 a day, you can feed a child. Well, for $3 a day, folks, you can feed the world. Good news of the gospel, and which is good news. And we're going to be talking about the Calgary meeting. We have lots to get to. We've got emails. One of the things, Michael, that we've often talked about is the issue of how to be sensitive to where people are at in their process. And after you came back from Calgary and we were talking about the meeting and about how amazing it is that there are people who were in the meeting in Calgary who've been in your meetings up there for 20-plus years that walked away just blown away, going into it expecting to be uplifted and to have a nice time and to see old friends, but just to be absolutely blown away by the information and the inspiration, the salvation, if you will, that came their way during that three-day meeting. And we started talking about the fact that the gospel, unlike other topics that have daily radio programs or television programs or entire networks devoted to a particular topic like news or politics or sports or food, that those things feed on the new thing, the current thing that is happening at all time. And it is our contention, beautiful humans, that we could have a 24-hour gospel channel. We certainly could have a daily radio show for 2 or 3 hours and never even come close to exhausting the information. And yet our information is basically gleaned from a relatively small amount of writings. And if there's anything that speaks of the supernatural aspect of the gospel and of the scriptures, meaning the law, the Psalms, and the prophets, the scriptures as defined by Jesus and the disciples themselves, I don't know what that is. And Michael, you said at that point, you said that, Glenn, that truth is both finite and infinite.
Yeah.
And I asked you if you had ever said that before, as I often do. And you said, no, can't remember ever saying that. So I wrote it down. Truth is both finite and infinite. And so regarding the issue, as we were talking today further about this topic, as excited as we could possibly be, folks, I mean, as strange as that sounds, as our souls were being saved this afternoon, late this morning and early this afternoon when we were talking about the show tonight, we were talking about the gospel, we were talking about the meeting in Calgary, and this came to you, Michael, that for new people, or for people who are logging on and are not versed in the gospel that we teach, you said that any place is the starting point. And there is no ending to it. Because if the gospel is the truth, and defined by you, Michael, that truth is only truth if it's applicable to every single person on the planet, if it is true, and as we've thought about it and contemplated it, that truth is finite and infinite, then any place somebody comes into a finite truth is the beginning for them, and we don't have to be concerned about where they're coming in because what we're presenting will speak to them exactly where they're at.
Yeah, that's correct. I believe that to be the truth. I believe it to be the truth because that's what the truth does, but it also because of experience in the last 20 years of beginning to share the truth of the gospel. it's just been remarkable, you know, over the years as I have approached writing a book and trying to figure out what is it that I should emphasize, or if I was going to write booklets, and you know, there's just been a lot of consideration has gone into this as to exactly what it would be and what it would look like and what it would sound like and how it would come across, what subjects, and so for at least 2 years, I posed this question as I was still going around and having speaking engagements, at least more than what I am now. And the question that, or even if I was on the phone with someone, you know, that had called in for whatever reason, I was kind of doing a survey, and I was asking people, so where do you think, all right, if I'm going to share this with somebody who's never heard it, where do you think I should start? And the thing that was so overwhelmingly clear was that everybody was absolutely sure where I should start. There was none of them that were ambiguous about my starting point at all. Everyone knew exactly where I should start. And everyone knew exactly where I should start is exactly where they started. So the ones who first began to hear just the difference between law and grace, they were saying to me, Mike, they got to start here. People have to understand the difference between law and grace first. The people who first heard the gospel of peace said, Mike, until somebody understands the gospel of peace, then the rest of the gospel, it doesn't make sense. You've got to understand the gospel of peace first. And each one of these were making very valid points, which was, at the time, to be quite honest with you, was quite confusing, to tell you the truth. It wasn't helping me at all. And then I remembered specifically asking one of my friends, John Hall, who was a 32-year veteran of the FBI and head of the legal department for the FBI for many years, and a man who created the ballistics testing for the FBI, a brilliant man. I've walked through the FBI with him in Quantico on two or three occasions. And believe me, everyone came to their feet or greeted or stopped and acknowledged John as we walked through there, regardless whose office we were near or around at the time. And he happened to listen to the session that was recorded at your house, The Redemption of the World. Now, anybody who had been with me in growing an understanding of the gospel before the redemption of the world, none of them suggested to start, oh, no, Mike, oh, my gosh, no, don't start with the redemption of the world. You should start with law versus grace or the gospel of peace or the scriptures or the end of the world, something.
Because the redemption of the world was a three-part series that literally, clearly, concisely outlined that the entire planet had indeed been redeemed at the cross.
Yes.
And we had never gone public with that concept, as you have done on so many issues. You held back for years before you went public with that thought, and it was so, if I can coin a phrase, revolutionary at the time, to say out of our mouths and publicly that all people, regardless of their faith, regardless of their background, regardless of their behavior or belief system or their sexuality or whatever, actually had been and were always redeemed at the cross, that was so completely outrageous that people, as you said, who didn't come in at that point, advised you not to do that. And yet, the fellow who was 32 years in the FBI, that's what he heard the first time, and
very
that was
the first thing he listened
point.
To. He had a he had to go speak at something for the academy. It was a 3-hour drive, and he had three tapes in a packet entitled "The Redemption of the World." He's described it to me several times, and he said, "Mike, I put this on. I started, and he said the last tape ended when I pulled into the location where I was going, and he said I knew this was the truth. He then, now his wife, a very brilliant lady in the school system there in Virginia, and in her own right, you know, many accomplishments in her own life academically, and he took that series home to her and asked her to listen to it, and she said, and John and Etta have a very strong relationship and communication. They can disagree with each other, but they had this very open and honest and earnest discussion and communication. They both have their opinions, and they sometimes disagree. So Etta asked him what it was about, and he said, I'm sorry. He said, I'm not going to tell you a single word of what it's about. He said, I need your honest and most heartfelt opinion about these. And she agreed, and she sat and listened to them all the way through. And she came back and told him, says, well, John, I have finished listening to these three tapes. And he said, okay. He said, what is your honest opinion? And she said, I think he's right. I think he's right. And he said, well, good, because I do too. Now, when I asked John, where should I start? He said, the redemption of the world. So it was so funny to me that everyone I asked, it was the tape or the CD or the message that they heard is where they knew everybody else should start. Because, as you were saying, with truth it being on a continuum, it is infinite and finite. There is no beginning. There is no end. And even as you were saying, it's just like, you know, it's just like sunlight. That's truth. And, you know, you may not be able to tell where something starts or where it goes, or like the wind or any of those subjects, but you sure know when you've experienced it, and you experience it where you are, and it doesn't make any difference what place in the planet you are or exactly what the conditions were when you experience those truths. It's your beginning point, and the beginning point is the point. That's what's so amazing about the gospel, is that it is so built for the heart. Any portion of the gospel is the starting point.
Well, and just like with anything that is applicable or any truth that is universally applicable to all human beings, and it being finite and infinite, just like sound, just like light,
yeah,
there is an origin of it.
Yes.
But it goes on forever. The vibrations of the words of our mouth right now literally go on forever, and yet they had a starting point. And I was talking to Dawn about this yesterday, and Dawn's got a very scientific mind. And when I said to her your comment about truth being both finite and infinite, she was blown away. She was like, how could that be? And I said, think about it. And it really reverberated in her heart and her soul. And she said, but things need to be discovered in order for them to be true. And I said, no, Dolly, that's not true. I said, the earth was round even before people discovered it. Just because they didn't know about it didn't make it not true. And she got it. She understood. And she said to me, she asked me, she said, is Michael the first one to articulate the gospel in this way? In other words, is he the discoverer? And I said, I think so. And it's not that people throughout history haven't had glimpses. And frankly, folks, we are just glimpsing into this.
Oh,
and what we're going to be talking about later on during the program gives you an indication, because we're still in the book of Genesis. We're still at the beginning of this whole thing.
Yeah.
But we think we have a little bit, kind of like Paul said, that we see through, we do see through a glass darkly, but we're looking for more people to articulate this and have a concise and clear message of this good news that in no way does not take into account what Jesus said was the foretelling and the outlining of his work and why it was important and what the specific nature and the reason that he had to go to the cross and what that did to the planet and to all human beings from there on out. When we come back, we're going to be checking out our emails. We're going to be taking your calls. We want to encourage you to call during the break. The phone line is available at 1-800-436-3260, 800-436-3260. Or if you're outside the United States or Canada, you can call us at 813-425-5773 as we continue on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
Gospel issue number one, sin.
The issue of sin is big. That because of one man's sin, that God took that sin and charged it against everybody's account. We didn't do what Adam did, but we became what Adam was. If Adam is called the first Adam and Jesus is called the last Adam, my mind must remain arrested to this comparison. By one man's sin, all were made sinners. And that by one man's obedience, all have been made righteous. All of you that have believed, know that you know that feeling and that sense of relief from sin. You know that feeling very well. My challenge to you is that you could have that every day of your life without ever addressing sin again. Ever.
Any questions? Go to GospelRevolution.com and order Gospel 101 now. Available in singles or discount multi-packs of 10, 25, and 50 CDs. If you don't ask any questions, you're not going to get any answers.
Thank you very much, Robert Moore. That's a good place to start, beautiful humans. Gospel 101. This is Glenn Klein online. It is Gospel Revolution Wednesday night. Taking your calls, 1-800-436-3260. It always takes somebody to pick up the phone and get the ball rolling first. We've got lots of emails, but we do want to hear from you tonight. 800-436-3260 is the Gospel Revolution toll-free hotline. 800-436-3260. Sean O'Halloran, ensconced in the studio here in the Bay of the Holy Spirit, the original name of Tampa Bay, Florida. And also want to welcome, speaking of new listeners, dear friends of ours, Phil and Cindy, that are listening tonight for the first time. And they logged on early, Michael, and heard some of our pregame chatter and got a text from Phil warning me that we were online, which I appreciated. But we've learned that lesson once before, so we're good. I mean, it's if you log on before 9 o'clock, chances are you are going to hear some pregame chatter, but it's all good. This email comes from James Taylor, the James Taylor of the Gospel Revolution. He says, "Hi, guys. Great to hear that Mike has made it home safely to report another successful Grace Conference. Looking forward to having and hearing his new series. We'll be logging out of the webcast tonight, as it will be another wonderful broadcast of the Gospel of Peace. I love you guys. Again, thank you so much." And that's from James Taylor in Louisiana. Great to hear from you, James, as always.
For sure. And thanks for the well wishes. I mean, my goodness, what a awesome thing to know that you're back home safe and that that people are glad about that. You know, sometimes when I stop and realize that people actually think about me on occasion, I think it's the most wonderful thing that could ever happen to somebody, is to know that people actually think about you. So I appreciate it, James. Thank you so much.
And it's, I think that speaks almost to the heart of the whole issue of the redemption of all people, regardless of their background, Michael, is that somehow spiritually or supernaturally, we are all in Christ at the cross. Somehow the Bible says that Jesus went to the cross for the joy that was set before me. He must have sensed somehow supernaturally that what the result of him going through that heinous experience would be, and all the humanity to follow would be at that point become one in God.
Yeah, just it's crazy. It's just the here we are after all of these years, not just of Christianity, but 20 years of a gospel revolution, and still the comprehension of what actually took place at the cross is still just voluminously standing in front of us as we partake of peace at a time of this incredible understanding that I don't think I honestly Glenn, I don't think that we've scratched the surface of the of redemption as to what it actually entails. If we only take into consideration this absolute fact, according to Paul's teaching and according to the prophecies of the scriptures, that God Almighty and the human race through Jesus Christ became one entity 2,000 years ago. I still stand back and look at that with just in awe. I am still absolutely in awe that it took place. I'm still trying to find the words to help my brain understand it and to help other people's brains to understand it, that there are not two entities now, God and the human race. It is one entity.
And not only are we and God one, but we're all one together.
Yes.
And the impact of that thought, beautiful humans, is to the saving of your soul. The redemption and salvation, don't forget, are unlike what Christianity teaches. Redemption and salvation are separate experiences. They're separate moments. Redemption was accomplished at the cross, and in spiritual terms, the Bible says before the foundations of the earth, Christ was crucified. So this was a finished work. This was a done deal. The salvation of that fact, the meditation, the talking about it, the contemplation of it is an ongoing process. As Paul talked about, the renewing of the mind, the saving of the soul, the cleansing of the soul. And so we're involved in that process on a continual basis. Very healthy.
Yeah.
We highly recommend it. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is one of our favorite segments of the week. It's time for the Pastor Ask segment. Let us go to beautiful Decatur, Georgia, and an equally beautiful human being, the ambassador of the gospel revolution, Ted Winsett. Pastor Ted!
Good evening. But it's not Decatur, Georgia. It's Decatur, Alabama.
Why do I don't always say Georgia. There is a Decatur, Georgia,
oh, that's okay.
I know.
There are many, many Decaters. Illinois,
there's
Tennessee,
a Decatur,
Georgia,
there's a
Alabama.
There's a Decatur,
all
right. Illinois. All right, let me break out in a chorus of Sweet Home Alabama to make it up to you.
Oh, no, please don't.
Yeah, please don't.
In Birmingham, they love the governor. Ooh,
oh, there you go.
You guys set up a law, and I had to break it. That's what I did.
All right.
What's going on, Teddy?
Well, I was trying to hire Sean away from you to go to work for my wife's in her office, but he wouldn't have any part of it. So anyway, you said a couple of things early on. It wasn't even on my list tonight, but something I've been thinking about for years. Well, first of all, Mike said he went to Quantico, Virginia.
Yes.
Well, back in November, I had the wonderful privilege of flying up there in ice cold, snowy weather to my daughter's graduation at Quantico. She's like a 15-18 year veteran police lady, and she got the opportunity to go to the FBI training academy. So we went to the graduation there.
Yeah.
So that was a trip in itself, but it was a nice place. But the other thing you said was, you're talking about truth. Is truth truth? And I thought about this for years. If something is really the truth, no question, I mean just the truth, but I say, I don't believe that, does that make it any untrue? I say no. All right, now I'm tying this in with the verses in the New Testament that said, if you believe, if you just believe, if you'll only believe. And I think Paul said somewhere, sort of like to us who first believed. Now, I'm taking that to say it was true all the time, but one day it dawned on me, this is truth. Now I believe it. Not that believing had anything to do with your salvation. One day I woke up and said, why, this is truth. I just believe this now. I mean, am I making any sense?
Well, you are, Pastor Ted, but see, here's the difference, is that what we believe does have an effect on our salvation, but which,
but,
again,
okay,
is the renewing of the mind.
After the fact, though, right?
Well, Michael, why don't you expound more on that? Because, again, there's a huge difference between the truth of the gospel, the finished work of Christ at the cross, and the process of salvation, which is believing and confessing and talking about it and meditating it. And, I mean, salvation is an active role that we play in salvation. It doesn't redeem a person. Just like Michael has said so many times, that the gospel redeems nobody. The gospel is the uncovering of the redemption. Right, Mikey?
Yeah, but you are correct, Pastor Ted, in that that is after the fact as far as salvation is concerned, and I know that you understand that concept. But you're absolutely right in the fact that truth is truth, and just because that I had a understanding point of truth doesn't make it truth. It was truth before I understood it. The understanding part, of course, is the saving of the soul and the renewing of the mind, regardless of the subject. Regardless of the subject, if you understand math better, it can renew your mind to where that you can do things you could not do before, as far as things pertaining to mathematical. You know, you're not in a box where you are. You're unlearned, and learning the gospel is just is simply the effect of the truth. But that's one of the concepts that I really think grabs people's attention, is the fact that if me believing it if my belief makes me redeemed, that means my belief creates truth.
Exactly.
And if what I believe makes something true, then it cannot be truth. Truth
exactly.
Can create a belief, but a belief cannot create a truth.
That's what I'm talking about. I just want to make sure that I had that right.
You got it right. You're doing some good preaching.
You better believe it. And then I'm going to get off here. I was listening to Hebrew, your CDs.
Yeah.
And you mentioned having a list of the debunkings of Hebrews on the cover, but I haven't found them.
Oh, did we not get those on there?
No.
And
you also mentioned later on, toward the end of the CDs, about the list of the false doctrines that was going to be listed.
Well, thank you so much, and
I need those tomorrow.
Jeff Robertson, Jeff Robertson, get on that.
Oh, that's another thing. If Jeff is listening,
He is.
Could he call me sometime tomorrow? I have lost his number, and I don't know why or how, but I would like for him to call me.
Okay, it's on the website.
All righty then. Well, I didn't see his number on there. I looked.
Yeah.
Well, it's the office number.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, I can get that. And now, one other question, and I'm gone. Has the book gone to print yet?
No, it's still in process, and believe me, there is a small army that is working on this, including Jeff Robertson and Glenn Klein, and
well, there you go. It's always a hang-up.
Kate, we know where the hang-up is now.
That's a joke.
Kate, our dear songstress in
Australia. Anyway, we're looking forward to it.
She's working
Kate,
and and we've got, yes, Kate Benham, and we've got several other proofreaders lined up, so it is all in the process. We do have a target of having it, the book in its complete form by August. So that is a goal, a target date that we're working toward, and looks like it's feasible, I think. So we're going to see how it goes.
Okay, well, Pastor Ted is gone, and Jeff, I know Pastor Ted's probably listening now, but he's already responded, and he will be in touch with you mañana. That's how we find out information about things, is by people letting us know. So if you got a problem with the CD, you can call the office number, which is the website, gospelrevolution.com. The office number is also at the bottom of all the posts, the e-newsletter that comes out. And so get on it, folks. Let us hear from you. And let us hear from you now. That number is available with Pastor Ted dropping off in Decatur, Alabama. That number is now available to you. 1-800-436-3260. 800-436-3260. That is the number to call. And if you're outside Canada or the United States, you can call us at 813-425-5773. That will put you in touch with the very lovely and talented and quite handsome Sean O'Halloran, who, something that we just learned, has turned down an offer to work for Pastor Ted's wife. And is staying with the Gospel Revolution. Although he doesn't work for the Gospel Revolution, we are glad to have him here in the Bay of the Holy Spirit.
For sure.
We've got a caller on the line, and let's go to him, and then we're going to take our next break. We're going to go to our dear brother, the master, the sergeant-at-arms, if you will, of the Gospel Revolution. Let's go to Georgia. This time we are actually going to Georgia. Matthew Perry is on the line. Matt!
We've got a caller on the line, and let's go to him, and then we're going to take our next break.
I can't do it like Greg does, but I'll play a YouTube video.
he tried rocking Sweet Home Alabama. Yeah, Amber
did
that.
Oh, he did a fine job as far as many of us are concerned, but I can't keep up with his tape.
I'm glad you qualify that many of us were concerned. How are you, brother?
Hey, Matt.
I'm doing well. How are you, Mike?
Go ahead. I'm good. It's so good to hear your voice. I think this is the first time I've actually talked to you since I was there in Georgia. Is that correct?
Maybe so. I don't know.
I think it is,
come
unless I'm
for
forgetting something. Anyway, it's good to hear your voice again.
Right. Good to hear the webcast. I'm glad that y'all keep that up every week. I try to keep up.
We are consistent.
Yes, you are. I got a question. That's why I'm calling. For once, I don't get in a lot of debates with people, but I do whenever I bring up my particular take, which is pretty consistent with y'all, the gospel and how we see things. I've gotten two or three times the response about the law and how Jesus there's a verse that says Jesus didn't come to fulfill the law, but to complete, or not to complete the law, or to, you know what I'm saying? Maybe you might have experienced this too. I didn't come to fulfill the law, but to complete it, maybe it's the other way around. Am I ringing any bells? Maybe I could look it up.
Yeah. What is your question about it, Matt?
Well, I guess I don't. I didn't clarify it enough, and I mean I can't think of it directly, but.
Okay, Michael, isn't it Jesus did not come to end the law, but to fulfill it?
He said, "I didn't come to destroy the law."
Destroy the law.
Now, here's the thing, Matthew. The term "destroy" means to fragment. So what Jesus was saying was that he didn't come to fragment the law. He actually came to make sure the law was not fragmented, and that it stood whole and complete, so it could be fulfilled and done away with. So, remember, he not only made that address about he did not come to fragment, to destroy, to fragment the law or the prophets. And because Christianity does not know that Jesus fulfilled the law and the prophets, therefore they fragment the law and the prophets. And they have prophecies that are fulfilled. They have prophecies that aren't fulfilled. They have laws that are enforced. They have laws that aren't enforced. They have totally done what Jesus said he did not come to do. So it's a very powerful term when you realize that Jesus was telling them that he did not come to destroy, and which if you fragment the law, you've destroyed the law. See, the translation of the word is correct in its total understanding. If you fragment the prophets, you've destroyed the prophets. If you fragment God's law, if you take one law and put it above another, if you exalt a law above another, if you remove a law, if you replace a law, if you remove one jot or tittle from a law or a prophecy, you have fragmented the entire law. You've fragmented the entire prophecy.
Right.
So Jesus is making it clear. I stand wholly for the whole law and wholly for the whole prophecy, and I did not come to fragment it, but I did come to fulfill all of it. You see,
okay.
It can't all be fulfilled if it's fragmented.
Right, of course. And that's the question I had, I guess. I mean, go ahead.
And the reality is, fellas, that is exactly, of course, what religion does to this day. They take certain things and say, no, that was done away with. No, this is still applicable. And it is so inconsistent, so illogical, so irrational. But Jesus talked about in that particular verse why what his purpose was.
Yeah.
And he took, of course, the entire law in its entirety and nailed it to his cross and did away with it. There is no more law of God.
And that's what happens with, and that's why Christianity cannot understand the fulfillment of the law or the fulfillment of prophecy, is because they fragment the law and the prophets. And you can't, the understanding of the fulfillment of the law is only and completely had if you do not fragment the law. Many years ago, when we started dealing with the issues of the difference between law and grace, I ran into a lot of homosexual people who were wanting to help me, like, "Oh, wow, Mike, we're so glad that this is happening to you, and now do you? We hope you understand that homosexuality was never a sin." And I was appalled. I was like, "Wait a minute. Wait, no." And they went through the whole thing that, Sodom and Gomorrah was about hospitality, not homosexuality. And,
well,
I mean, It's unbelievable,
It may have been about hospitality and homosexuality.
A very hospitable homosexuals, you know, who knows?
Yes.
But, and then they would go back and say, well, it really didn't mean, you know, that a man should not lie with a man as a man does with a woman. And it was like, no, there's something desperately wrong for me to embrace that. Because, see, if I had given myself an excuse, had I taken away my own condemnation through my own words rather than my condemnation being taken away at the cross, I would have lost the entire revelation of the completion of the law and the prophets. So I don't know of anyone in the ministry who stands for God's law any stronger than what I do. Now, you would hear just the opposite to that from the entire religious community. But I am telling you, of all of them I know on CBN, TBN, Jimmy Swaggart Network, all of them, they do not honor God's law. They fragment it. And they diminish part of the law, and they exalt part of the law, and they say some of it's fulfilled, some of it isn't. And so by fragmenting, there is a complete misunderstanding. For the law to be fulfilled, it cannot be fragmented. And for the prophets to be fulfilled, they cannot be fragmented. So now we've got prophecies about Jesus dying on the cross, but the reality of it and sin being dealt with is 2,000 years later, and we still haven't got it done. We have ultimate reconciliationists that say that the fulfillment of Scripture didn't come till 70 A.D., or preterists that sincerely say that prophecy was not fulfilled till 70 A.D. That is fragmented. And that's why there is no understanding of the completion of prophecy, is because we fragment prophecy. And your question is so apropos for tonight. And the dynamics of Jesus' statement, I did not come to fragment the law or the prophets. I came to fulfill them.
That explains so much as to the teaching. You know, people want to take the teaching of Christ as somehow an example for us. No, he came preaching and teaching the law and in the spirit of the law, the way that God intended it to be preached, which was to bring complete and utter condemnation and the end of ourselves so that we could only find our righteousness in his righteousness. Through no action, no belief system, no construct that we could have in and of ourselves beyond the fact that all people have been affected by this amazing work on the cross at Golgotha. Hey, Matt, you sound great, buddy. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, all Matt.
Right. I'll talk to you all later on.
Okay. Bye, buddy. Here's Matt Perry just outside at Atlanta, Georgia. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about the topic that was in the email that went out today to everybody. Was this God of the Scriptures a genocidal maniac? What were some of the reasons that might be true if it is true? And we're going to get to some more emails. We're going to take your calls. That line is available now that Matt has dropped off. Call us. Sean's waiting to take your call at 800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. You can see through Matt and Pastor Ted's contribution how important hearing your voice is. If you're calling and listening outside of the United States or Canada, give us a call at 813-425-5773, 813-425-5773. We'll wait for your call as we continue on this Wednesday night edition of The Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
Gospel issue 2, judgment, and gospel issue number 3,
righteousness.
Judgment, what a big issue. You got to remember in John chapter 3, Jesus said that he did not come to judge the world, but later on he said, it's for judgment that I'm here. So is Jesus confused? Jesus said that the cross was the judgment of the entire world. And I can tell you what that judgment is. God has judged this entire planet as righteous and holy. Here's the issue. It's called the gospel. It's called the gospel of peace. It's called the gospel of grace. It is called righteousness. It is the immaculate fulfillment of all things in the body of one man, the man Jesus Christ.
Any questions? Go to GospelRevolution.com and order Gospel 101 now. Available in singles or discount packs of 10, 25, and 50 CDs. If you don't ask any questions, you're not going to get any answers.
GospelRevolution.com is where to find Gospel 101, and just go to the homepage. If you haven't been to the homepage for a while, you will be shocked and amazed at the refreshed nature of the look, the information. And Jeff Robertson, the administrator of the Gospel Revolution, doing an amazing job with that. And the afore listened to and mentioned Matt Perry doing a great job helping produce those spots heard tonight on Gospel Revolution, or on the Gospel 101 CD. So this is a team effort, folks. And I think that that's one of the things, Michael, that you came away with from Calgary, was how everybody had the sense and articulated it to you that how excited they are to be part of what's happening here. Michael?
I'm sorry. I was finishing a coughing spell. I was on mute.
Did you hear what I said?
I did. Yes, they did have that response, and it was the thing that I came away from the conference with, from myself, was everyone there in attendance was excited about the progress we are making. And they were including themselves. They feel very much a part of this effort. And they felt we are getting the job done. We are doing things now that we have only hoped to do in the past. And at this moment, we're actually doing more with less finances than what we had year before last, and still recovering a bit from the 2008 economic collapse of the world. We are recovering, and people feel that, and they're glad to be a part of not only that recovery, but also of the effort. When they look at the website, they feel very much a part of that. And rightfully so. Because
this email, we've got a caller online, which we want to get to him momentarily, but I do want to mention this email before we run out of time. This came in from Tim today. In response to your Surviving Christianity post, and if you haven't seen that post yet, folks, on your email or on the homepage, you can just either it's sitting in your mailbox waiting for you to read, or just go to the homepage at GospelRevolution.com and read Michael's note on his Surviving of Christianity. But here's what Tim wrote. He said, since I first heard the Gospel Revolution, Michael, at Jerry's Church in Jackson, Michigan in 1993, it brought the greatest message of hope that I had ever heard, especially coming from the holiness movement as I did as a teenager. But, Mike, I guess you know there are some of us, even after hearing the message, we cannot fully believe one way or another. Somehow, in my heart, I don't think I've fully given up in having my heart, soul, and mind set free. I can only guess that the tapes I have of your teaching from the early 90s, having listened to them literally hundreds of hours, still ring in my heart. But I will be purchasing some of your newer foundational teachings this month. Which series do I even start with? You are always deep in my heart, Michael. P.S. I'm the guy back in 96 that got off his semi-truck in South Dakota and drove to your meetings in Wisconsin only to have fallen to the flu. You brought me food in my room and checked on me. Thanks so much. I will be following your ministry much closer these upcoming months. P.S.S. Still have that card that you gave me of that flustered human being saying, I'll take a double shot of grace. Ha-ha. And that's from Tim, listening tonight. And obviously haven't been in touch, but this is kind of the theme of where do you start. So where does Tim pick up, Mike? What would you recommend to Tim?
Just reach on the rack and get anything that's there. the issue is not where to start, the issue is how many do you want? Because there is if it's the truth, it is both finite and infinite. And at what part of the experience of truth, it will ring true to the same heart that the truth was designed for, which
right.
I totally believe
right.
that the heart is designed for truth. The heart knows truth when it is exposed to it. And so, you know, we can do our very best. You know, I have carried this conversation out with so many people, and I asked them, well, tell me what CDs you've listened to. And, you know, every time I've responded to somebody about where should I pick up now, it's different. Everybody that I talk to, because I can't remember what I told the last person. And
I loved how you said, you know, just reach to the rack. Because here's the reality, folks. On the rack, one size fits all.
Yeah.
So you can't go wrong. You cannot just look at the subjects, Tim, or whoever's listening, wondering what they should order, if they should order. And Gospel 101 is a great place to start, but every CD series that's listed there is a beautiful thing. This is Glenn Klein Online. We're going to be going a little bit overtime tonight, as is our want. Heads up to Sean and all of our listeners. Just want to get this email in from the aforementioned lyricist and songstress of the Gospel Revolution down there in Australia, braving the cyclone, Kate and Jeff Benham. Hi, Glenn and Mike. Looking forward to the webcast later today, actually tomorrow for us, but just wanted to thank you for the gospel. I'm finding that no sooner that I begun digesting, meditating, and savoring the delicacies of our webcast. And see, I love how she says that, our webcast. I find myself at hump day again, where I am served up another course in this incredible banquet. So much to devour, and it seems not enough time. I thank you and love you. And that's from Kate Benham down there in Down Under, Australia.
Wow.
Great to hear from you, Kate. Give our love to Jeff.
Oh,
and now, without any further ado, let us go to beautiful Mount Vernon, Ohio, and the Secretary of Health and Human Services of the Gospel Revolution, Mr. George the Jar. George!
I wish you would have said that. That made me laugh. Health and Human Services. How are you guys doing?
Listen, yeah. Brother, the truth is the truth. Deal with it.
Yeah, I'd like to become... or revert back to my narcissistic ways when I was in Christianity. No. Anyway, great show tonight. And I also find myself asking people if they listen to our show. Hey, do you listen to our webcast? I mean, it's amazing. I feel
that's
like
awesome.
I'm completely part of it. Okay, I know it's late. Michael, I just want to ask you one question. What is the curse of the law? What do you think the curse of the law is that Paul was discussing in Galatians? And,
well, the curse of the law was death.
Hang up?
Yeah, the curse of the law was death.
was death?
Yes.
You mean untimely death or human death or spiritual death?
Yeah, the death that was imposed on the human race when God said, in this day that you eat thereof, you will die. And every law leads to death. Every law leads to death. And so the curse, Jesus bearing that curse on the cross, was him bearing the curse of the law, which was death. And he bore that death for the entire human race, in that one died, all are dead, and then one is raised, all are raised. So we're freed from that curse, because the cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. That was just another law, but they all of the laws is the curse of the law is death.
Okay, so the Jewish people who try to pick up the law, they are not. They don't suffer a curse from that.
No, they sure don't. No.
So there is no curse.
No,
because
there is no
God
curse.
Does not recognize the law.
Absolutely, because see, a curse is something invoked by God. See, we got into this back in our devil chasing days, and people started talking about, you know, they're under a curse from the devil. Well,
mm-hmm.
I started doing just a little bit of research, and I found out all curses came from God.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no curse come from the devil. So, but a curse is invoked by God's law, the ultimate curse being the being death. And so, no, when someone picks up the law, they're not picking up the curse. They are picking up bondage. But the law will do in the mind and the heart the confusion and the negativity that it can bring to the person's heart. But they are not under a curse. There is no curse anymore. The curse was taken away at the cross.
But then there is. But the result is bondage.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Does that bondage just affect that person, or does it affect unsuspecting people?
Well, you can't have somebody in bondage and it not affect everyone around them to some degree. It depends on how the people around them choose to respond or react or act around somebody who is in bondage. Some people, they will become people who enable them to do what they do. It can create all kinds of situations, manipulation and control and guilt and all of those things that come along with legalism. And the people around the person, which a person that has embraced the law, is a legalist. And so you have to decide how you're going to deal with a legalist. But a person is completely free. See, here's the thing, George. Under the gospel, you're completely free to be a legalist if you want to be.
And what Paul said about that, Michael, was that he said, everything is legal to me, just not everything's expedient.
Yep, yep.
So if you want to be a legalist, George, you can be, but it is,
it's not
going
to cancel
said,
out redemption at all. It's not going to cancel out
It doesn't cancel out redemption,
cross.
But it does cause a person to have a lack of salvation in their life. And
yes.
As you said, bond, you know, it's emotional, intellectual, mental bondage.
Yes. But the curse,
okay.
I appreciate the question, because it's at these junctures, George, that we have to maintain. Like what Jesus said, he didn't come to fragment the law. So, you see, we can't fragment these subjects. If the law has been done away with, then the curse of the law has been done away with. And by someone espousing to the law doesn't mean that the law is back alive again. The law is dead. The law is not in existence between God and man. It doesn't make any difference how many people fall under the law. The law is non-existent. You're grabbing on to a ghost. You're grabbing to a myth. You're grabbing on to it's a haunt is all it is. But nonetheless, if the mind believes it, it's going to have an effect.
Right.
But you see, we cannot fragment the law nor its consequences. If people are suffering the consequences of breaking God's law, as to God's warrant of what the consequences of breaking God's law is, then see, we've fragmented the law. But if part of the law, if law bears the curse, and if the law has been done away with, we must understand that the curse itself is completely gone. Otherwise, we are fragmenting the law itself.
I like that. That fits real good with my thinking. Yeah, I just feel like sometimes I get a little frustrated with the bondage that is perpetrated on people and inadvertently perpetrated on others through creating even natural laws for us, you know, based on bondage, based on this, you know, the idea of bondage.
Imagine how frustrated African Americans were when people were applying the law of slavery of the Old Testament to their modern day. They were no less equal in God, but you're right, the influence of that bondage did affect an entire race and hundreds of years of Americans. And we're still paying the price for that right now. But we got good news, folks, that black people and brown people and yellow people and red people and white people and slave owners and slaves and everybody are all equal in the sight of God, regardless of what their actions were, what their mindset was, what their mindset is. The curse has been done away with. Now we say walk free. Get up and walk free for the freedom that was procured by the Prince of the Peace that was paid for you over 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. This is a very real... This buddy of mine, Phil, that is listening to the show tonight for the first time, guys... He told me that he's just in a place. This guy that was, by his own admission, was a former fundamentalist. And he said he's just in a seeking mode right now.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Phil, and for those of you around the planet that are listening live or on the archives who are seeking truth, you could be at no better place than right here, right now. Because we are boldly proclaiming that you and we are one in God, and we are all equal. There is no hierarchy in the gospel. Everybody is of equal value to God. There is no positions. There is no... We have a thing on the homepage, of course, and we were kidding George about the Secretary of Health and Human Services. There is no position one above another or difference between people. Everybody is, and you know what, to say, Michael, that we and God are one, and there is no difference, it could be one of the most arrogant comments that a person could make, unless that comment was applicable to every other human being that has ever lived, that is living, or will ever live.
Yes, absolutely, and that is what takes the arrogance out of all of the most of these, of the powerful truth of the gospel. This is nothing that you did not make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior. This is not something that that Jesus even did for us personally. Jesus came to redeem the world. Just so happens you're part of the world, and thank God, rejoice about it, and take it personally as far as your thankfulness. But please don't ever, please hear me. Do not ever reduce Jesus to a personal Savior again.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
We love you, George.
Okay.
No, that's we love. We're going overtime, so just stay logged on.
Okay. There's, love you guys.
All right.
I'll do it.
Bye, George.
All right. There's the George the Jar effect in full effect. Once again on the Gospel Revolution. All right, we're going to talk about the convention because we promised we would, and which means in these last few minutes, if you're listening and you want to call, we want to hear from you. So we're happy to take your call at 800-436-3260, 800-436-3260, or 813-425-5773 outside the United States or Canada. 813-425-5773. So, Michael, you go to Canada, you go to Calgary, the beautiful humans are assembled, and you have this five-meeting series that's developed under the umbrella entitled The Image of God.
Mm-hmm.
And the title of the email that went out, the question that you posed to the folks assembled at the Carriage House in Calgary was, given what we see in the scriptures, what the religious world calls the Old Testament, but what we know as the scriptures, not the New Testament writings, folks, as defined by Jesus and the disciples, one of the only things they all agreed on was the definition of the scriptures, which were the law, the Psalms, and the prophets. We see this God mandating, demanding certain things from his children, those that at the time in Adam were created in the image of God. And we see demands for mass murder, not amongst just soldiers, but demanding that Israel destroys all the women and the children and the livestock and the crops, and calling for judgment and calling for ultimate devastation. And the question that you pose, given that evidence, was or could you define this person, this entity, as a genocidal maniac? Just the fact that we have the freedom in Christ, the freedom with the gospel, to even pose that question and consider that is absolutely incredible to me.
But
what were the people's response to your question? Was God the God that appears to us in the scriptures? Was he a fruitcake? Was he a mastermind of human suffering and devastation? And was he a genocidal maniac?
Well, I posed the question to him. I said, if I describe this human to you, this person. And I went down through a list of some of the things that we read, as you have very well rehearsed for us tonight, of the, quote, acts of God. And I said, if this, if I describe this person and all of these deeds and works to them, to you, would you call them, what, upset? Would you call them confused, or would you call them a genocidal maniac? Well, everyone in the room concurred that that would be a genocidal maniac. Now, we're not trying to draw any specific conclusions about this at the moment, but to observe. See, the freedom to observe what actually took place without glossing it over, without making it pretty, is the key to learning any of these things, and especially the things that we need to understand out of Genesis, what we need to understand about God, the creation, and the cross. The ultimate is to understand the cross. So they all agreed that would be a genocidal maniac, and I said, well, that's what God himself did. So it spurred us on into a little bit of thinking about the fact, well, do you believe that God is that way now? Unequivocally, everyone in the room said, no, God is not like that now. And I said, now, if I told you about a person who did all of these things, whose anger was so out of control, jealousy, And then I told you that they had an experience that took all the jealousy, all the anger away. I said, would you say that they had gotten saved? And they said, beyond the shadow of a doubt, they would have experienced salvation. And so that's when we waded into just exactly who all got saved. You know, what is the salvation that is afforded by the cross? What the redemption that was brought at the cross affords what salvation? Just a man? Obviously, if you count jealousy, if you count anger, if you count out of control anger, over the top, not justice, but revenge, is just unspeakable.
Bro, mass murder.
Yeah.
In unparalleled things guys like Saddam Hussein and Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin would be jealous of.
No doubt. And here we have this human condition that we are dealing with now with these homicidal maniacs. And I swear, Glenn, I think that by embracing this reality as to where God was now, and it's like I said to the folks in Calgary, I said, now, make sure you understand, at no point am I telling you that God became unholy or unrighteous at any time, because holy and righteous is a state of being, not a measure of performance anyway. So with God, who is holy and righteous, he could not become unholy or unrighteous by any performance on his part, which he also imparted that God-like character position to us, that regardless of what we do, it cannot be counted to us as unrighteousness, no matter how genocidal we become, no matter how jealous we become, no matter how out of control we might become. Even as God, now, we stand in that same position as God, and none of our actions can measure against our righteousness or our holiness.
Right.
And
the concept, of course, which is in the Bible, that God changes not.
Yeah, yeah.
Clearly, his approach changed. He didn't change. God has always and will always be love. God is always and will always be holy and righteous. But clearly, Jesus, Michael, said it himself. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. When we understand that Jesus came preaching the law in his earthly ministry, the way it was intended to be preached, and then that was before the cross, and then post-cross, we see absolutely no judgment, absolutely no condemnation in his 40 days and 40 nights on the planet in his resurrected form. Something dramatic, cataclysmic, history-changing, earth-shaking, literally to an earthquake occurring on the planet, happened at the cross. And everything changed from that moment on. God didn't change, but certainly his perspective and his approach to the human race. Frankly, folks, we went from being in the image of God to being one in God. And Michael, we're going to be talking about this a lot, folks, the whole issue of what happened to God or with God when he created a graven image, meaning mankind meaning men and women. What he warned people themselves about what would happen to them if they created a graven image. And it all happened to God, as recorded in the scriptures. This is something, you talk about truth being finite and infinite, this is something that has an origin. We can read about it, we can understand it, and we will never be done talking about it. We are just starting this process. But, Michael, I mean, the fact that you spoke to all those people in Calgary who have heard you for decades now, and they were expecting to come and be, you know, uplifted and have a nice time and to greet, you know, old friends, and literally came away with their minds blown, speaks to the power of the nature of the gospel. This is the gospel is the power of God. The power of God is not miracles. The power of God is not falling over in the Spirit. The power of God is not speaking in tongues. The power of God is not walking in financial prosperity or having every relationship healed and having your marriage be perfect. That is not the power of God. The power of God is the gospel that, as Jackie Bernard so aptly and eloquently pointed out, does a work, Michael, that is stealthy. That is it is beyond nature to do to the human heart and soul what it does, and we love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Just before we end, I want to address the only verse in the Bible that I know that says that. And first off, that God does not change, even though the comments that you were making are valid. But here's where this is what brings up that whole debate, and it's Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord God, I change not. Now, the term change there is the in the Hebrew means duplicate. So what? Now, it's interesting if you read the rest of the verse. I am the Lord God, I change not. The rest of the verse says, therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. So you see, if this meant what it says, the sons of Jacob would have been consumed, because if God didn't change, which God was angry and carrying out vengeance and wrath upon people, he would have said, "For I am the Lord thy God, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are doomed." It would not say it even in the context, but the term change means to duplicate. So what he has said here in Malachi is, for I am the Lord God, I never duplicate, I never do anything twice the same way. That's why you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even though I've consumed others before you, because I don't repeat myself, that's why you're not consumed. And that verse is taken sorely out of context. So just another
sure
little...
is.
Put it back in context moment.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this put it back in context moment brought to you by Michael Williams, the unteacher of the gospel revolution.
We just got something untaught, didn't we?
Yes, we did, and we love it. And we love you, beautiful humans. Our time is gone. We've got more emails to get to. Oh, you know what? I do want to get to this one because this will be very quick, and it's been... in the queue of emails for quite a while. This comes from our dear sister Sharon Kennedy from Oklahoma. She says, Mike and Glenn, just a comment that came to me more vividly than ever before after listening to the webcast on the archive this week. This was the January 12th webcast. This was it. I had a greater revelation of the two trees in the garden. God said to Adam and Eve, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but you can eat of any tree in the tree of life, the tree of life being Jesus. Realizing that truth, being Jesus, is the power of life, Jesus became the way, the truth, and the life for all humanity. Eat of this tree, walk in it. All religions, though, work hard to get us to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This was such a powerful broadcast. Thanks for making the good news available for all the world to hear.
Yeah.
You're welcome, Sharon.
Thanks, Sharon,
so much. It's our extreme pleasure. Sharon Kennedy from the great state of Oklahoma.
Yeah.
All righty. That's going to do it.
Stick a fork in it.
Yeah, we're going to stick a fork in it. We're going to thank George Najjar and Matt Perry and Pastor Ted for participating, all of our emailers, Jeff Robertson for administrating and monitoring and doing everything he's doing for this effort, and, of course, our engineer, producer, and call screener extraordinaire, Mr. Sean O'Halloran, for getting us online every night and for not going to work for Pastor Ted's wife. We're going to do it in 1 week's time. Let us hear from you this week at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Webcast@gospelrevolution.com. And until next time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!